What I'd like to talk about today is since this is like a sad time, right? Nothing to do with the 9 days and 2 weeks. That kind of sadness is easy to handle, like we practice it every year. But the sadness of being in a war, not knowing what the outcome will be, other than the fact that it will be bad. It's a special kind of sadness that we all are experiencing now. So I thought I'd give a shiur today that would make you unhappy. And the shiur is about the Book of Devarim. The Book of Devarim, which is the book that we're starting right now, is different than the other books of the Torah. That difference has already been pointed out by the Ramban in his introduction to his commentary on the Torah, as well as his introduction to the Book of Devarim. Remember that the Ramban wrote introductions to all of the books of the Torah on the theory that every book has some overriding theme. That is, you can classify a book of the Torah as belonging to something or other. So the Book of Bereshit, according to the Ramban, I mean, of course, he gets it from Chazal. It's really Sefer Yetzirah. The whole book of Bereshit is about creation, and the whole book of Shemot is about Geulah, about redemption of Am Yisrael, taking them out of. But when it comes to the Book of Devarim, he has a problem. And he doesn't understand, either Ramban, doesn't understand who wrote the Book of Devarim. If you look at the first pasuk, Eila Devarim, Asher Diber Moshe, Kol Yisrael, Eva Yardin. So that means that these are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Bnei Yisrael. But it doesn't say in that pasuk that God spoke the words to Moshe Rabbeinu before Moshe Rabbeinu spoke them to Yisrael. And the Ramban takes note of this. And the Ramban has to kind of figure out a way to include the Book of Devarim in the category of Torah Min HaShamayim. Since the Rambam, Maimonides, Torah Min HaShamayim has been, really it's in the Tanaim as well, but let's say, we'll take a benchmark as the Rambam. The Rambam says that Torah Min HaShamayim, the fact that Torah comes from heaven somehow, right, and the fact that Torah is immutable, that means that the Torah that we have, that we read from, is according to the Rambam, it's exactly the same Torah as was given to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. Somehow, in spite of the fact that copying things is very difficult, it's very difficult to achieve perfection or accuracy when you copy something as long as the Torah, and that there are many indicators in the Torah itself that seem to say there's a mistake here, or an imperfection, or something that has to be thought about. Nevertheless, the Rambam said, the Torah is perfect, as it was given at Har Sinai, and that's the Torah that we have. That's the Torah that we are studying. Now, even though this is to the mind of a scholar, a kind of difficult position to uphold, it nevertheless became a basic principle that the Jewish people carried with them for the last 1,000 years or so since the Rambam. Even though, as I said to you, it's also found in the Mishnah, right, long before the Rambam, but the Rambam is the one who impressed it on our minds. And you know that that at the end of Shacharit, every morning, in most Sidurim, there is this series of Anim Ma'amin that really goes back to the Rambam's position. And that, though one of the Anim Ma'amins is just this, that the Torah that we have is as it was given on Sinai, as it was given to us at Har Sinai, and it's remained immutable. It's remained unchangeable. It has, there's nothing about the Torah that we have that was different than the Torah that was given at Har Sinai to B'nai Yisrael. And so, it's interesting. It's interesting that the one who made an issue of this, eventually coming to the same conclusion as the Rambam, but the one who made a big issue of this was the Ramban. Right, Nachmanides, as we said at the beginning, as we started talking. But I would like to first, with you, see, and then we'll see together, the one who developed this and summarized it and came to the same conclusion as the Ramban, was the Abarbanel. Just to get, you remember the Abarbanel? He was really modern Orthodox. He, the Abarbanel. Even though for some reason he's not held in high esteem by those who are looking for a modern Orthodox model. But you know that the Abarbanel worked for the King of Spain. He was a very important advisor. This was before the expulsion from Spain. And the Abarbanel also wrote extensively on Jewish matters, and he wrote a very long commentary on the Tanakh, which of course may have been his undoing. He the Abarbanel, because long is always problematic. Right, in order to study something that's very long, you have to have a lot of stamina. So there are Abarbanel, who apparently assumed that everybody had a lot of stamina, was kind of shunted aside. There is today a new edition of the Abarbanel that is published. It makes it a little bit easier to go through, but it's still in Hebrew, the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel was... So he was very talented, very knowledgeable, very interesting. So what we want to do tonight is see if Rashi has something to say, and then see what the Abarbanel has to say on this question of the Book of Devarim. Is the Book of Devarim the same as or different from the other books? And does that difference impinge on our understanding of Torah Min HaShemayim? Right, that the whole Torah somehow comes from heaven and was given to B'nai Yisrael as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that we believe to be true, even though we can't really prove it. We can't, it's okay to believe in things that you can't prove, that this is one of the foundations of the theology developed by Rav Nachman of Breslov, who didn't like the Rambam, because the Rambam gave the impression that you could prove things, that you could be right, that prove that you are right. And Rav Nachman thought you couldn't do that. But he said alternatively that faith wins. Like a person who has faith that God is somehow involved in the running of the world, that's proof enough. It's proof enough for that person. Right? So let's first look at the Rashi. The first pasuk is Eila Dvarim Asher Dibbur Moshe El Kol Yisrael. These are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to B'nai Yisrael. Look at the Rashi. Eila Dvarim Kfi Shehem Dibrei Tofachot. These are harsh words that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to say to B'nai Yisrael. Manatad Kol HaMakomot Sheikh Isu L'fnei HaMakomot. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to mention all of the places, right, since Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the places where B'nai Yisrael angered God. He didn't mention that. We don't know exactly where. We have to look that with Rashi. But that's what Rashi said. L'fika satan et advarim v'zkiram beremes v'bnei kodan shal Yisrael. Therefore, because all of these things that I mentioned, all these words that I mentioned in the Pasuk, which we'll see in a minute, all of those words are embarrassing. Embarrassing words. They remind us of bad things that Bnei Yisrael did. And therefore, he doesn't really mention it. It's a remez. Right? You know what the word remez is?
A hint.
Good, very good. Remez is a hint. But also you have to understand that the word remez refers to one of the four legitimate ways of learning the Torah text. Pshat, remez, drash, and so, pardes. That's the acrostic that reminds us of these four ways. So that if you learn something with a remez, if you learn it as though it hints to some bigger idea, that itself kind of makes it into Torah. Because that's what you do with the Torah. You look for a remez. You look for something that is not done. Now, well, what exactly a remez is probably not defined equally by the different commentaries. But here Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the words of remez. And the remez that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, was about the different places he spoke of, like God. He didn't say it exactly. So what did he say? They were Be'eva HaYardena. So the first pasuk. That exists. Bamidbar. Midbar is a desert. Arava. Well, it's like a desert. It's a plain. Mul Suf. Suf we've heard of, right? Yam Suf. Yam Suf, the sea of reeds. Bein Paran. Paran is also a place we've heard of in the Torah. Bein Tofel. Tofel is also a place. Vilavan, the Chatzerot, I don't remember that so much. But these are also, I don't remember those words in the Torah. But these all sound like place names. They all sound like the Moshe Rabbeinu would say, the Eva HaYardein, El HaDvarim HaShem Diber Moshe. You see the problem in the Pasuk. El HaDvarim HaShem Diber Moshe B'nei Yisrael. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. So what should come after that? Perhaps, like an adverb, like where did he say this? Instead of the pasuk telling us where Moshe Rabbeinu said it, it listed like a list of places where Moshe Rabbeinu might have said it, but he couldn't have said it in all these places at the same time, because all these places are different. So Rashi, as they say, like Rashi hops onto it, and he says, oh, that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu said. This is the Tochachra. Just mentioning the names of these places that reminds you of what terrible thing happened there, that itself is the Tochachra that Moshe Rabbeinu said. So it's all in this Pasuk. It's all in this Pasuk. Now look at the Rashi. El Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Bnei Yisrael. Iru Hochia. If he would have only spoken to a group, then Mitzatana, you able to shukovri those who were left out in the shuk in Matan Yehuda, they would say, Atendi Ethan show in the Ben Abraham, Lora Shivotim the Rabikatika. But you heard Moshe Rabbeinu talking about these things and you didn't respond? You didn't say anything to him? He says, Iru HaYidushan, if we were there, we, you know, buying and selling tomatoes in the shop, HaYidu Mishivimoto, we would have responded to this stuff that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, HaYidu Mishivimoto, Lekat Kisam, Kulav, Lachav, Areku, Chemtan. Therefore, he brought them all together and he said, you're all here. Call me Shigesho Chuba, Yashirem, and tell me to say about what I say. Those who say so that what is the word that Rashi is referring to? El Kol Yisrael. Why the stress and told Israel that all of the people of Israel were there, and Rashi has an answer. Now, Rashi, the next word after told Israel is Bevayadei. Okay, Bevayadei is a big place. Bamidbar. What is Bamidbar? So Rashi says, Lo Bamidbar Hayu Ela Barbotoah. So Rashi gets it. He says, where were they? They were in Arvot Moab, in the Moabite plain, on the eastern side. Jordan River, the eastern side, right? The eastern side of Jordan River is before they came to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Bnei Yisrael, and Rashi says, Lo Bamidbar Hayu. What do you mean Bamidbar? They were not in the desert. So what is the word, how did the word Bamidbar sneak in here? This is not Bamidbar. Ela Bishvil Ma Shehit Isubu Bamidbar Shavru Miyitein Muteinu Bamidbar. It says it reminds us of something that happened at the time of Yitzhak Yitzhak, where people complained that they were in the desert and had nothing to drink. So Rashi says, Rashi's reading, like, you know, it's like he did this. If he would just say what he was doing, he would be graded very highly in the literature class, I think. Because what does Rashi say? The word Bamidbar is the key to understanding the Pasuk. Why is it the key to understanding the Pasuk? Because it doesn't fit in. Doesn't belong there. It's simply a mistake. They were not in the Midbar. So, how do you read the Pasuk? He says, Adoreva Shedre Moshav Kol Yisrael, Ve'eva Yardei. Stop. Now, what did he say? He looked at them and he said, Midbar. And they all got nervous because they knew exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to. He was not referring to the fact that they were now in the Midbar, but that the people had once sinned in the Midbar. And therefore, that word Bamidbar is the key to understanding the Pasuk. And then from there on in, Rashi continues. Rashi says, Ba'araba, Bishvil Ha'araba Shekhadu, Bebaal Ka'or, Beshitiv, Abot Bu'ab, right? You know that Bil'am, Balak, Bil'am gave them the suggestion that they should send the women to entice the men to go to Abu Nisar. That's Araba. Mulsuf. Amar Shem Ruby Amsuf, Bivo Ambi Amsuf Shavru. Bibli Enkarib in Mitzrayim. The Jews all complaining all the time. So Yamsuf is another place where they complain. Bein Karana Bein Toto, right? You see the next part of Rashi by Rabbi Yochanan. Chazanu al kol adikra v'lo batzinu makom sheshmo tofen v'lavan. Right, in other words, you see the pasuk says Bein Karan and then tofel v'lavan. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Or the Rashi, different version, what did he say? We googled it. We googled Laban, and what came out? Nothing. Nothing. No such place. So that's the second proof that Rashi has, that this pasuk has to be understood differently. It's not what it seems. And what is it therefore? He says, "Lovat zidum b'tov shishvot tovul b'Laban el hochichan." He is speaking to them about Hadvarim Shechatlu al Haman Shehu Lavan. Remember the man? And the man, they should have been happy about the man, but they said, Shamru Nafshenu Katsa Belechem HaKlo Kerem. We hate it. We hate this man. Every day you get the same thing. So even though the Gemara says that the man had the taste of whatever he wanted to be, but I guess during the 9 days, you could eat the man and want to eat a hamburger. And that would be okay. Because it would just taste like a hamburger. It doesn't mean it was bisari. It wasn't really bothered. There were all kinds of problems with bisari in the desert. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about We're talking about the man. Then, the next one is Chatzirah, the Matzvot Toshel Korach. This is a reference to Korach. The last one, Tizahav, you see Tizahav? It's the last one in the list, in this Pasuk. Hochichan al ha'egel she'atsu b'shvil rod zahav she'yaleh. They had a lot of gold, so they built the egel as zahav. They made it out of gold. Di zahav. What's a di? Boy there. Maybe it's shel zahav. I mean, it would be an Aramaic word, which is its own problem that Rashi doesn't relate to. But I accept it's a good question. But we're learning Rashi. So, you know, we're limited here. Shama, a kesef, a baiti love, it's a haza super problem. Okay, they used the gold. They used the gold. What? These
eggs?
Eggs. Eggs and that. Ah, eggs. There you go. The eggs of Milazo.
I thought Milazo was
a man. I think so. I guess so. I mean, look how I get low about you. I heard the name smells there. But I thought okay. We will continue. Pasuk Bet. Any event, there's a continuation of the story. Again, who's speaking to Bnei Israel? Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Bnei Israel. Is there an indication that Moshe Rabbeinu received these words somehow from God? No. There's no indication. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's idea. He's going to speak to Bnei Yisrael. So I would say that it may be that Rashi understood somehow that these statements of Moshe Rabbeinu must be Torah. Because they have the principle, they use the principle of remnants. And it's not likely that in Moshe's day, in Rashi's time, it was Chaucer.
Chaucer.
There you go. Rashi. If it was Chaucer, you could maybe argue the case. But in Rashi's time, I mean, people wrote simple, straightforward things. They didn't like with the rimazim. A remez is itself something that can only exist for Rashi in the Torah. Now, I know that you're going to be able to find some other document someplace in the world in Misa where there is a remnant, but so what? I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I think that Rashi can prove to us that this is regular Torah, and that Torah that was adopted somehow or included, he uses this principle of remnant, which is a principle that refers to Torah understanding. You can understand the psukim of the Torah simply as remez, as drash, and this is what Rashi taught us here. Okay, now let's go to the last pasuk of the daf because we might not make it otherwise. The last pasuk hey katul ba'eva hayadei ba'etz eretz moab. So this is the pasuk that defines the place, the location that Moshe Rabbeinu found himself speaking to Bnei Yisrael. This pasuk hey, ba'eva hayadei, the eastern side of the Jordan River, the eretz moab, finding whatever eretz moab might be, I don't know. In other words, in those days, it was very hard to define the land that belonged to a particular nation unless it was bounded by rivers and mountains. But Ammon and Moab and Edom, they were all one on top of the other somehow. So it's hard to know exactly where it was, but if you were there, you would probably know that it was Eretz Moab. So Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Eretz Moab, and then the pasuk says, Ho'ilu Moshe. Moshe began. What did Moshe began to do? They air the Torah HaTzel Blamor. So this is the second story. You know, the first story was about Moshe Rabbeinu in Tochacha.
Tosafot means rebuke.
Right? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. The second story, the second part of the content of the book of Dvarim is in Pasuk Hey, which says, Ho'il Moshe Be'er. What does Be'er mean? To explain, to comment. And so the Rishonim, the Mefarshim, not Rashi, but the Mefarshim, other Mefarshim say, Moshe Rabbeinu, first time around, he taught them the words of the Torah. But now, in the book of Tevarim, he has to teach them, give more inclusive sheirim about the different mitzvot in the Torah. But we don't have that written down. But we have it in what we call Torah Sheval Peh. Torah Sheval Peh is the explanation. So the explanation is, according to Mitzvah Suh, Ho'il Moshe Be'er the Torah Zobel Meflemo. He started, he Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah, the Mitzvot, in the book of Devarim. Now if you look at the last line in the Rashi, Ho'il, it's here. And he began. Be'er the Torah Zobel the Rashi, that is a good thing to think about. But not so easy to understand. Be'er the Torah b'shivim lashon pershalahem. B'shivim lashon. 70. The number 70 means everybody. Shivim lashon means all of the languages. All of the languages. So, in some way, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go and make the Torah appropriate for everybody. And in history, that's really what happened. Every time Christian missionaries went someplace, doesn't matter where they went, and so they were very very energetic, and they learned the language of the place, and they wrote a little dictionary, and the first thing they translated into the local dictionary was the Bible. Of course, to the Christians, the Bible was like a little bigger than it is for us. But in any event, in history, this idea that the Bible exists for everybody in every language imaginable actually came true. In fact, it turns out that what we know about many languages in the more ancient world, not in our world, comes from these translations of the Bible into the local language. And so Shivim Lashon Be'er that there's that somehow Moshe Rabbeinu made it possible to translate. He made it possible to translate that when you translate it, when you translate Torah into another language, you'll get something that's right. It won't be wrong. It won't be wrong. You know that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tet, talks about the famous story of translating the Bible into Greek. Right? The Bible into Greek. And Ptolemy, who was the king, who was the Greek vassal king in Egypt. And there were, at that time, a lot of Jews who lived in Egypt, and Ptolemy decided that it would be a great idea to translate the Bible into Greek. So he took, believe it or not, he took 70 Jews who were very clever. He put each one of them in a different room. I guess he had a big house, and he gave everybody a room. And then he told everybody to translate the Bible into Greek. And it turned out that the translations were exactly the same. All the 70. That's what we call the Septuagint. I mean, I'm not saying that what we call the Septuagint is what they translated exactly. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that's what we call it. We call it the Septuagint because there were 70 Chachamim who translated each in their own room, and that translation was accurate even when all these 70 guys changed the pasuk. So the one that is most that we all remember is that the Torah starts by Bereshit bara Elokim, and all the translators translated Elokim bara Bereshit, because they knew that the Greek way of thinking about things is that the first word is the most important word. So they would say that something called Bereshit created God. That's how they would understand it. And therefore they changed it around. And they said, Elokim bara Bereshit. The way the Gemara tells the story, this was a miracle. This was the miracle of the translation of the Septuagint into Greek, that every one of these translators did exactly the same thing. When they changed the words from one form to another form. So I don't know if that's what Rashi was talking about. But Rashi seems to indicate, Rashi says that the Torah was so clear, it was so understandable, it was so well done, that it's possible to say that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared in the book of Devarim, you know, he prepared the book of the Torah to be translated into 70 languages so that everybody in the world could be given the advantage of knowing the Torah. That's what it says. So if I had to summarize Rashi, I'd say we make three points. One has to do with Remes, the other has to do with Tochacha, and the third has to do with, who remembers? I'll be a teacher. And who remembers? The first is Remes, right? The second, Remes, because only the Torah is written with the Remes. And the second is Tochacha, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. But the Remes, the connection between Remes and Tochacha, was that he used the Remes method, which is a Torah method, in order to give the Tochacha, which is hidden in the words that he said. And finally, he prepared the Torah for translation. But he prepared somehow. He did something. Also, Rashi points out that Moshe Rabbeinu explained Be'er, right? Explained the Torah. He made it accessible. Maybe Torah Shavah. That perhaps accessible depending on how you translate it. So for Rashi, somehow I think this problem of the Torah Min HaShemayim was not the very great problem. Okay, now the following two pages, well, we have excerpts of the Abarbanel. In other words, what I did was, the Abarbanel is very long, so I just cut out the pieces that I was interested in, and it still came out to be very long. So, you know, that's how, I just don't want you to think that you have the text of the Abarbanel. You want to learn the Abarbanel, you have to get in the Abarbanel. If they get it about Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel, to my mind, what I remember, doesn't exist in any of the renditions of Mikraot Gedolot, of the Rabbinic Bibles, but it only exists in separate volumes. Like you have to buy the Abarbanel, which I'm not telling you to do, but it's, or you go to a library. They still have libraries, don't they? Sure. Maybe you get on the internet, I suppose. But it's very long. It's very, very long. Or you can get it on that, we have that in the office.
Barima?
No, I don't think you can get it on Barima. Maybe you can. I mean, I have Barima, but there's the other one, Torah something or other. You know, it has all those books online. You can get a lot of books. Torah, 15,000 or 18,000 books. There are public libraries that don't have 18,000 books. You have them all in your house. You just, you know, Google it. So look here. I'll read it and translate it. I'll read more words than I translate. I mean, I'll translate it to cross-read. Shevati u'bakasheti. This is what he said the Abarbanel. You see page 2 at the top?
If Mishneh Torah Asher Samach Shelf Neighbor Dei Yisrael Ritzon Nilomar Sefer Eila HaDvarim Hayam Eid Hashem Min HaShamayim. So it sounds like the book of Dvarim comes from God and it comes from heaven. But Dvarim Asher Yubo Moshe Amaram Eti Adbura.
You can say simply that everything in the book of Dvarim comes from God to Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael, which is the way the Abadmanel thought the Torah came into the world. Right? That God taught Moshe, Moshe taught Bnei Yisrael. That's how it worked. He entered the Drei of the Rabbi Bereshit, but Bnei Yisrael, the whole Torah, Eilu Eilu the Drei of Yerushalayim. This is, they're all the same. All the books of the Torah, all the words of the Torah, the psukim of the Torah, exactly the same from this point of view. B'tuli Eyot Lehem. Shinui v'chidu. Oh, that's one way of looking at it, he says. Torah min haShamayim, it's true about Devarim, just as it's true about Shmot, and Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Oh, and say the Mishneh Torah, Zeh Amaron Moshe, Yatzmo, Yidrob Amaron, Kinevare Mashaydi, Nakavana Rekit, V'beigur HaMitzvah. Or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, he did it by himself. He sat down and he said to me, "You sure need a little more explanation. They need to be buttressed in their ability to understand this. I'm going to help them. I'll write down what I know. I'll write down a lot of things that I know." And he says, "Ufaem Hashemim may akavanah lo kipe biyurah mitzvot. Uchemosha amar katu oir Moshe be'eret haTorah." So he likes that pasuk. That Moshe Rabbeinu started to explain the Torah, Kederet Yod Eidat, Umevinei Ba'amada, Shevi Yaro, Sayt Kol HaZavar Kasheh, Bekvarim Shekisa Otav, Atik Yom. So the Abadmanel says, there are two possibilities. Either the Torah of Dvarim is exactly the same as all the others, and that God told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu told the Israel. Or, Moshe Rabbeinu is a little more creative here. He was like, it was involved. It was involved in explaining things that Bnei Yisrael might get wrong. And he thought that was an important thing. Now if you skip the next paragraph to the third paragraph. V'im ha'zakna v'dat ha'shem she'sefer eilu dvarim adoneinu Moshe chiburo. As if you would hold that Moshe Rabbeinu was the author of the book of Dvarim. He says, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. He's trying to explain things better. Because even if you say that, there's still four problems involved. How can you say that they just attached the fifth book to the Torah? That they attached something that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. V'yeyet chilat ha'dvarim v'fi ha'el v'amro eila dvarim v'shedivere Moshe. We go there. These are things that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote. He says, how could it be? How could you imagine that you could say such a thing? That the Torah of Dvarim, the book of Dvarim, is different than the other books because it's sort of generated by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's generated by Moshe Rabbeinu. And I just want to tell you, just in retrospect, we'll stop for a bit. You remember the Chet HaMeraglim. Yes, you remember the Chet HaMeraglim, the spies? Now what if there hadn't been a Chet HaMeraglim? What if the Meraglim had not done what they did, if the Jews had not been unworthy, if they'd all wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, or they were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, when would they have gone to Eretz Yisrael?
Right away.
When's that? Tell me in the terms of the books of the Torah. When would they go to Eretz Yisrael?
Very beginning of the Mitzvah.
At the end of Vayikra. Yes? What's at the end of Vayikra, the parashah of the Chukotai?
Mishnah.
Tov Lecha.
And what is the tochacha? The tochacha is if you're okay, you'll be rewarded. But if you're not okay, you're going to be zapped. That's the agreement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Bnei Yisrael, because they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so you have to Bamidbar, not so Balotcha, Shlach, right? You'll fit that in somehow. But basically, they were going to go to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the parsha of Vayikra, the end of the book of Vayikra. In other words, the end of the book of Shemot. I can remember, we just did this. The end of the book of Shemot is the building of the Mishkan. When did they build the Mishkan? The tabernacle? As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the second time, which was on what date? Very good. Yom HaKippurim. They came down on Yom HaKippurim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael, we need that Mishkan. Let's build the Mishkan. And when was the Mishkan dedicated, so to speak? The beginning of Nisan. Very good. The beginning of Nisan. And then, what was supposed to happen? So then they had the Mishkan. So they had to know the laws of the Mishkan. Where are the laws of the Mishkan? That's the book of Vayikra. After the book of Vayikra, but it's supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Something happened that stopped them. But if they would have gone to Eretz Yisrael after the book of Vayikra, then we would be missing the book of Bamidbar and the book of Dvarim. Now, to miss the book of Bamidbar, not such a big deal, right? Why? Why is missing the book of Bamidbar not such
a big deal? Terrible things happen.
Terrible things happen, but what is Bamidbar? Bamidbar is history. It's about things that happened. So it wouldn't have happened. None of those things would have happened if the Jews had not sinned and therefore stayed back in the Midbar. So all of those things would not have happened. What about the book of Dvarim? Okay. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would be with Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Canaan, and he would be teaching them the Torah like he wanted to do. But now Moshe Rabbeinu was under pressure because he was not going to go to Eretz Yisrael with everybody else. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu had his own cheshbon, right? The tragedy of Moshe Rabbeinu is explicitly stated in the Torah in next week's parasha, right? The parasha that we call Nachamu, right? But this week's parasha is this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu had more to teach. He wanted to say more to Bnei Yisrael. He said, I haven't really taught it properly, at least according to Rashi. And now according to the Abravanel, it's the same thing. I haven't taught the Torah properly. There's more to say. There's more to teach. I would have done it in Eretz Yisrael if everything worked out. But it didn't work out. So we got stuck in the desert. In the desert, I taught the Torah piecemeal. I didn't have an opportunity to teach the finer distinctions and things, and that's what I want to do according to the Abarbanel, according to Rashi. That's what I want to do now in our Avot Moav before you go into Eretz Yisrael. So if you look at the bottom of that page, the Ode. See that under the line, there's a line for Ode. Ode ki im hayukan mitzvot v'chud ashot. Ech lo ne'amar v'hem v'edavar Hashem al Moshe. It's as if Moshe Rabbeinu was going to teach the people things that he hadn't taught them yet. Don't you think that those things should be introduced in the book of Bamidbar by a phrase by the Nevei Hashem of Moshe? This, after all, what was Moshe teaching Bnei Israel? Things that he learned. Things that he learned from God on Har Sinai. So he says, Echol ne'amar v'nevei Hashem of Moshe v'omer, k'moshe ne'amar v'shar ha'mitzvot asher Bisvarim harishanim kolam. He says, this is a pasuk that's repeated again and again. Ish lo ne'eda, uklahir gisha ha'man b'sofek ha'zeh. The Ramban already said it. The Ramban shall repeat, shal mitzvot al chudashot, ha'eila lo kiblum atan, ve'eit shal merab, kikla kiblam esinai, l'chei lo amat behem ha'dibur. Is the Ramban has this interpretation. Why doesn't it say that to Hashem or Moshe anymore? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching it 38 years after he received it on Har Sinai. So it's not as though It was a direct communication from God, because there is this time lag. That's what the Rabban says. But you see again, there is this problem that keeps coming up. If you turn the page, let's turn the page. Page 3. Ha. From Master Aiti, I need the true articles. I'm going to try to explain the Rabban says. My answer is Shalom Haita. Kavanat Adonainu Moshe B'Sef Hazeh Lokiyat Yisrael V'Shalom Yisrael Aleyhem B'Sef Hazeh B'Sof HaKudashot Shalom Bob B'Shoy B'Amishim. The Rabbi now says, look, Moshe's intention is not to rebuke B'nai Yisrael. Moshe's intention is not to teach them new mitzvot that they didn't learn, hadn't let them learn. V'Shalom Yisrael Aleyhem B'Sef Hazeh B'Sof HaKudashot Moshe Rabbeinu was not the review. He wasn't going to teach them the mitzvot over again. He wasn't going to talk about things that he already talked about. His only intention was to clarify the Torah and Mitzvot, the Tavshu Yitzchak of the Bi'ur. Those that had to be clarified. For Kamosha Amar, O'il Moshe Be'er the Torah Hazot. So you see that Pasuk comes up again and again as being the key to what it is, to the answer to the question that we are looking for. Next character. Anam inyan ha-sefer ha-zev ha-mita tohu she-moshe Rabbeinu k'lav ha-shalom ha-mar ha-dohim ha-ilim u-bi'er ha-mitzvot she-nizkar kol v'Yisrael v'tzorach v'edatom. Moshe Rabbeinu was very much aware that he was leaving B'nai Yisrael. He was separating himself from his people. V'ratzak ha-mitzvotu acharei she-eshlim l'omram v'Yisrael שיכתוב בספר התורה כל זה כפי מה שאמרו משה אולי הוסיף בהם הגדורת טעמים ותמרים בזמן הכתיבה. So Moshe, so the Abinel, the answer to the Abinel to this problem is that Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted to say something to B'nai Israel, but that doesn't mean that God would necessarily direct Moshe Rabbeinu to write those things and include them in the Torah. So what makes the Torah min ha-shamayim, according to the Barbanel, according to the Ramban, according to Chazal as well, what makes the Torah min ha-shamayim? The answer is because God directs Moshe Rabbeinu to write it. Now, once God directs Moshe Rabbeinu to write it, the words could have originated with Bilam, the words could have originated with Abimelech, Melech Gerar. There are all kinds of people who are talking and acting in the Torah. But what makes it Torah? What makes the words of that are written in the Torah, Torah? Because God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to include them. So that the words of Bilam are not Torah because he received his inspiration from God. The words of Bilam are Torah because God told Moshe Rabbeinu to write them down in the Torah. And so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, according to the Abarbanel, why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say these things to the Bnei Israel. It could have been Tochacha, it could have been Be'er, in order to explain the mitzvot, etc. All of those things are possible. But what makes them Torah, what makes the words Torah, is that God instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to write them down. And in that sense, there is no difference between the book of Dvarim and the book of Shmot, the Vayikra, etc. There may be reasons that the book of Dvarim doesn't contain that pasuk by Dvar Hashem or Moshe Rabbeinu. There are reasons, because it was generated by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we all know that. The Shirah Azinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu sang the song of Ha'azin. Moshe Rabbeinu sang the song of Az Yashir Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said those words. Right? Ashir Lashem Tika Oga'a. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's not what makes them Torah. What makes them the Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, write them down. Write them down in the Torah. And in fact, you know this discussion about the last eight psukim in the Torah, the book of Tzvarim, that described the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara that said, how could Moshe Rabbeinu write down the death of Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, he didn't die yet. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu write down Vayal Moshe? Right? At the end of the book of Tzvarim is a description of Moshe Rabbeinu's disappearance. But he must have been alive. So there's an opinion that Yoshua wrote those last days of Sukkim. But according to the standard opinion, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight of Sukkim, Adarabha, it makes perfect sense according to the Abraham. Because those eight of Sukkim were dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why they're in the Torah, even though it hadn't happened yet. That had not yet happened. Of course, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Mema, Dalet Mem Ayin, which is taken by the Gemara to mean, or taken by us to mean, that he wrote them with tears, the Ma'ot. He wrote these last eight psukim with tears. So you know, if you write with tears, you don't really get to see what you wrote. You just can't get it. Unless, you know, you have some kind of invisible ink, which then becomes visible after time. So the way the Gemara understands it, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down directly from God, but it didn't really exist for Am Yisrael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went on the mountain and disappeared. And then the words became known to us. But again, this principle that was formulated by the Ramban, and then taken up by the Abarbanel, which is that Torah, Min HaShemayim, means that it was written with a divine directive. That Moshe Rabbeinu sat there and wrote what God told him to write. So it may be that God said, those words, Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have said, are worthy. We should keep them. We should know about them. We should learn them. So write them down. Write them down in the Torah. And that was felt by the Rishonim to deal with the problem. Like, how could it be, as we started out with, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would write the Torah? Adarabha. It's because he was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the proof. Although the Rambam says that in order to bring the Torah into the world, you had to really understand the Torah profoundly. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could do that. It's hard for us to understand that because, after all, if Moshe Rabbeinu is a sort of secretary or typist for God, then where is the profundity? So the profundity of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to this interpretation, is expressed in the book of Dvarim, which is a book of profundity. Like more, I want to know more about the mitzvot, more about what is going on with us in the world. And only Moshe Rabbeinu could transmit that more to us here. Okay, have a good chance.